Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Bruce Alpert, Olivia Leo, Mario Ritter, and Phil Deerking. Later, we will bring you this week's education report. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
American Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is examining federal guidance on how schools should deal with sexual assault. The guidance was written during the presidency of Barack Obama. It advises school officials on a U.S. law known as Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972. The law requires schools to take action to deal with issues like hostile educational environments and illegal sexual contact. On July 13th, DeVos spoke at a conference in Washington, D.C. DeVos said she is considering how to balance the interests of sexual assault victims against those accused unfairly of sexual assault.
The education secretary met at the conference with sexual assault victims and people who said they were falsely accused of sexually attacking others. At the same time, Maya Weinstein, 23, and others demonstrated outside the headquarters of the Department of Education. Weinstein was raped by another student during her first year at George Washington University. It is interesting to me how sexual assault is viewed as a different issue than any other crime, Weinstein told VOA. The false reporting statistics are comparable to that of someone saying they were robbed, and we don't question those who come forward to say they were robbed.
The National Sexual Violence Resource Center reports that between 2% and 8% of sexual assault charges are proven false. It says those rates are comparable to other crimes. DeVos told the conference that existing rules might not protect the rights of people falsely accused. She spoke about meeting with students who say they were falsely accused. DeVos said it was clear that their stories have not often been told, and that there are lives that have been ruined and lives that are lost in the process. DeVos also said that sexual assault is a serious problem. We can't go back to the days when allegations were swept under the rug, she said. Last year, the company International Student Insurance made a video about sexual assault for international students at American colleges. It said countries have different ideas about what is acceptable and what is not. In the United States, a sexual relationship requires consent, the video says. It describes consent as when both people agree to sexual activity without feeling pressured or intimidated and without being under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Alicia Peterson was a victim of sexual assault while attending Georgetown University in Washington. Like many victims, she decided not to bring charges against her attacker because she was not sure the process would be fair. In 2015, the Association of American Universities said that half of college students did not report incidents of sexual assault because they did not think it was serious enough. Others said they were embarrassed or thought nothing would be done. Even with the stronger federal guidance, punishment for sexual assault remains weak, Peterson said. She said few students are removed from college for sexually assaulting fellow students. Peterson is now a Yale University law school student. She works with a group called Know Your Title IX, which supports victims of sexual assault.
Before the July 13th conference, the Education Department's Acting Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights apologized for comments she made about sexual assault. The official, Candace Jackson, had spoken to the New York Times newspaper. She said that 90% of sexual assault cases involve two drunken students and a student deciding, "Our last sleeping together was not quite right." In her apology, Jackson said, "What I said was flippant, and I am sorry." Jackson also said that she was a rape victim. Columbia University in New York City recently settled a case dealing with allegations of sexual assault. The case was brought by a former international student. The former student, Paul Nungesser of Germany, had accused Columbia officials of failing to protect him. The German man had been accused of raping another student, but the university cleared Nungesser of wrongdoing. Nungesser's lawyers said the university permitted his accuser to carry a mattress around Columbia's grounds as part of a school-approved art project. The accuser said the mattress represented the school's failure to punish Nungesser for raping her. She even carried it to her graduation ceremonies in 2015. The university said Nungesser's time at Columbia had become very difficult for him, and not what Columbia would want any of its students to experience. It added that Nungesser is now attending a film school in Germany. The woman who accused Nungesser of rape had criticized Columbia for being more concerned about their public image than keeping people safe. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Bruce Alpert.
Wang Jianling is one of Asia's richest men. He is chairman of Dalian Wenda Group, a large property business which owns many foreign companies. However, Wang is now facing a number of actions from Chinese authorities. The latest actions include Chinese authorities asking banks to stop financing Wenda Group's purchases of foreign companies. Wenda Group currently owns a studio in Hollywood and AMC Theaters, among other foreign businesses. AMC Theaters has the most movie theaters in the United States. Earlier this year, Wenda Group faced an investigation into its finances. Soon after, Wenda Group sold part of its business for $9.3 billion to a real estate developer based in Tianjin. Wang Jianling, the founder of Wenda Group, is known for his strong connections with the Communist Party. The Chinese government's actions have surprised some experts.
Christopher Balding is an associate professor of economics at Peking University. He said, "That is a surprising development in a lot of ways. Wang Jianlin has many friends all through the political establishment in China. While some people believe the government targeted Wang, other people believe the government was taking action against many companies." Peng Liu is a professor of real estate and hotel management at Cornell University. He said the government actions were consistent with the desire to control financial risks. In the past few years, Wanda Group has bought Nordic Cinema Group, a theater operator in Northern Europe, for $930 million, and Carmike Cinemas for $1.1 billion. Carmike Cinemas is the fourth largest theater operator in the United States.
However, earlier this year, Wenda Group was unable to buy Dick Clark Productions, a company that develops television shows. The deal was valued at $1 billion. The government is asking companies to cut their financial risks. But it is unclear if there are other reasons it wants companies to limit the buying of foreign companies. Balding said it is not far-fetched to say that there is definitely a political message being sent, and they are using Wenda as an example to other companies to say, "Don't do this." He added that the actions involving Wenda could be a sign of hidden political disputes.
Yue Su is an economist with the Economist Intelligence Unit. She said the government is also investigating Fuxing and Anbang. Those two companies have bought overseas businesses. She said the government is also worried that these companies are trying to move assets abroad and keep their debt within the country, which is worsening domestic economic conditions. Christopher Balding said that in the past few years, regulators were encouraging Chinese companies to buy foreign companies. He said, "So while Wanda may have pushed the limits, they were doing nothing more than what they were being encouraged to do by the Chinese regulators."
Currently, the Chinese government appears to not want companies to buy foreign businesses. However, Liu said that he believes they will allow overseas investments under the Belt and Road Program. That program is a development project that supports trade across countries in Asia and Europe. The Belt and Road Program is the government's strategy. I think that is different, he said. I'm Olivia Liu.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
researchers say a pilot program that paid Uganda landowners to not cut down trees successfully reduced deforestation. For the program, researchers from Northwestern University and Porticus, a Dutch organization, studied 121 villages over 2 years. In 60 villages, they offered landowners $28 a year for every 10,000 square meters of forest they did not cut down. To collect their data, the researchers used interviews, site inspections, and satellite images to monitor forests around the villages. Uganda had one of the highest rates of deforestation in the world. It loses about 2.7% of their forest each year between 2005 and 2010. The study, published in the journal Science, found that villages in the payment program had saved 55,000 square meters of forest land more than other villages. In addition, there was not a rush to cut down trees after the program ended. However, because the study was small compared to the size of the timber and charcoal markets, researchers were not able to see its effect on the markets. Without that information, they were not able to demonstrate that reduced deforestation in the study region didn't lead to increased deforestation elsewhere. The researchers hope that this study will provide options for governments trying to meet their carbon emission targets under the 2015 Paris Agreement. A carbon emission is a gas caused by the combustion of carbon. The gas is released into the atmosphere and is considered harmful to the environment. Researchers say more carbon emissions contribute to global warming. The Union of Concerned Scientists say deforestation causes about 10% of global carbon emissions. They say that not cutting down trees is one of the least expensive ways of capturing carbon. Trees absorb carbon and need it to grow. This helps keep the carbon levels in the air low. Seema Jayachandran is one of the study leaders from Northwestern. She feels that the program will be most effective in partnership with others to address the reasons for deforestation. One example could be helping people in cities get stoves so they are not cooking with charcoal. Another idea is teaching farmers how to grow more food in less space, so they don't need to clear as much forest for land to grow food. I'm Phil Deerking.
This is What's Trending Today. Almost 20 years ago, Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio starred together in the film Titanic. They played the movie's two lovers, Rose and Jack. 10 years later, they appeared together in the 2008 film Revolutionary Road. This week, Winslet and DiCaprio are coming together again. But it is not for a film. It is for a dinner. And one lucky fan will get to join them. The prize of a private dinner is part of the yearly fundraising event for the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation. The organization gives money to environmental causes. Last year's auction raised $45 million. Famous guests like Bono, Mariah Carey, and Bradley Cooper attended the event. This year's gala takes place on July 26th in southern France. The person who offers the most money will win the dinner with the Titanic co-stars. The dinner reportedly must take place in October or November in New York City because of the two stars' busy schedules. News of the dinner made DiCaprio and Winslet trending topics on social media. Many said they were excited by the idea of Winslet and DiCaprio being together again. But some posts described the costly prize as a chance to be a third wheel on a romantic dinner date. A third wheel is a person who is not needed or is ignored in a situation. And that's what's trending today. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Last week, we talked about how to start and organize your English club. This week, we share ideas for effective and fun activities to do with your English club. The age and language level of your English club members will make a difference in what activities you should choose. For clubs with younger participants, more organized activities might work better. But for clubs with older members, informal meetings that encourage discussion are effective. It is important to know your club members and the kinds of interests they have. Warm-up activities are good ways to start any club meeting. They help people relax and prepare them to start speaking English. Here are a few warm-up activities that can be used with any age or skill level.
The first is called Two Truths and a Lie. This activity can be done in pairs, small groups, or the whole English club. One person comes up with three facts about themselves. Two of the facts are true, and one is a lie. They tell the group the three facts, and the group must decide which one is the lie. Each participant takes a turn with this activity. Another warm-up activity is Salad Bowl. For this activity, tell everyone to think of a person, place, or thing, and write it down on a piece of paper. Collect the pieces of paper and mix them around in a big bowl. Then, divide the club into two teams. Each team then takes turns having one person go to the front of the room to take a piece of paper. The person must then describe the word to other team members. As soon as a team member correctly guesses the word, the person then selects another word from the bowl. Each team has 30 seconds to guess as many words as possible. Finally, for groups that do not like activities, you can simply start a club meeting with a warm-up discussion question or by sharing a word or quote of the day.
After a warm-up activity, it is time to begin the main meeting activities. These may be organized activities or less formal ones. Club debates or discussions are the most popular type of English club activity. They let people use English in a more natural way than in a classroom. It helps to have a new discussion topic for each meeting. This helps keep conversations from being too repetitive, It also encourages club members to learn new vocabulary words. Debates are good ways to keep participants interested. They create excitement and make the speaker practice using new words. If your club has many members, it is a good idea to divide the group into several smaller groups. If possible, each of the small groups should be given a different discussion or debate subject. Every 15 to 30 minutes, people can move on to the next subject. You can encourage club members to come up with debate subjects for future meetings.
You can also invite people to give presentations in English. They may be politicians, nonprofit workers, teachers, police, and so on. Participants can ask the presenter questions. Your participants can also take turns giving presentations on subjects that are important to them as well. Another fun club activity is to listen to popular songs in English. To make this more effective, you can provide the words of the song to the club members. Participants can then use the song's message as a discussion topic. You can also select a section from an English language book to read and discuss as a group. Or, if your participants enjoy acting, creating short skits or plays in English are fun language exercises.
While having interesting club meetings is important for keeping participants motivated, you should avoid too much repetition. Doing special activities with your club from time to time gives participants something to look forward to, builds friendships, and provides new ways to learn. You can organize a short trip. Your club can see an English language movie together at a theater, go on a hike, or attend a concert to watch an English language band. Another idea is to visit a museum with an English-speaking guide. If club members enjoy writing, collect English language essays, stories, or poetry that they write. You can publish their work together in a newsletter.
Another idea is to create friendly competitions with your club's participants or between other English clubs. Poetry, speech, or debate competitions are especially effective. For a scavenger hunt, you can create a list of items that club members must find or photograph around their city or neighborhood. But instead of directly saying what the items are, give them hints about what they are. Another idea is to host English language film viewings during a club meeting or at other locations. Finally, have a party to celebrate a holiday or just for fun. This is a way to help create a friendly, informal environment for club members. Remember to encourage English-only conversations at such events, however.
There are hundreds of possibilities for English club activities. This list provides you with a good start. The important thing to remember is to keep things fun and keep your club members motivated. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.